From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fourth day of July 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. It's Independence Day. Coming up in this half hour, we will not, I repeat, will not talk about the futures markets. They closed yesterday at about noon and will not reopen for the grains floor at least until 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning on Thursday. Instead, during this half hour, we'll take up what I consider a really bright spot in American history. That is the aid that America gave to Europe during their bleakest hour in World War II, and the development of the European Union over the last 60 years as a very peaceful part of the world and a really good trade partner for the United States. We'll discuss that with Brian Indris, who's the director of the European Union Center, along with Tom Bruno from the Champaign City Council, and James Garcia, a Centennial High School teacher. All three, along with myself, were on a trip last week in Europe. We discovered Belgium and Luxembourg and the European Union that we know today.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's the fourth day of July. The markets are closed. Here are the final prices as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group yesterday afternoon. Remember, trade will not resume on the grains floor at least until 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday morning. July corn in Chicago yesterday was up 26.5 cents. It's price at the end of the trading day at $7.19. September at 674.5, up 22.25. And December futures there 18 cents higher at $6.73.75. The March contract 681, up 17. May 17.75 higher at $6.86. And July of next year, $6.88.5, up 17. Next year's December futures at $5.98 on Tuesday afternoon, finished 11.25 cents higher. Again, resumption of trade starts tomorrow morning, Thursday at 9:30 a.m. July soybeans up 36.75 cents at the end of the trading day, noon yesterday afternoon, $15.69. August at $15.26 a bushel, up 31.75. September at $14.94 and a quarter, up 31.75. November soybeans at $14.72 and a quarter, up 34.25 for the day. January contract at $14.70 and a half, up 33 cents. And the March contract in bean pit at $14.34, up 28.5. Next year's November contract at 2013 at $12.98 a bushel, finished 21 cents higher. You're, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, don't forget to visit us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter over on the right-hand side of the page. It's all about the service here at willag.org. Don't forget about Commodity Week. We'll post that program not Friday of this week, but tomorrow, Thursday afternoon, because I'm, out of the office on Friday and wanted to get things started very quickly. Dave Luce of the Illinois Corn Growers Association, a specialist in ethanol, will join us for Commodity Week. We'll put that up on Thursday evening this week by about 6 o'clock at WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon, Independence Day, the fourth day of July. Last week, as you very well know, I was on the road, actually in the air and then in Europe, traveling to Brussels and Luxembourg with the European Union Center on their Seeking Sustainable and Secure Connections and Food, Energy, and Governance Tour. The director of that program is with us this afternoon, along with a couple of folks that made the trip. Brian Endres is director of the EU Center. Tom Bruno, a Champagne City Council, was along. And so was James Garcia from Centennial High School here in this town, where he teaches social sciences and math. Brian, first of all, let's talk about what the EU Center on campus is and what it might be put together for. What do you do?
Well, we're an area study center on campus that serves pretty much as the hub for any sort of scholarship, teaching, research activity, and a lot of outreach events that have some sort of connection to the European Union. And we're funded by the Department of Education as well as the European Commission, in other words, the EU's administrative body. And so through those various funds, we try to support faculty and student engagement with the European Union in a wide variety of ways.
Now, I have managed to make three trips to the European Union. All of them, including this one, I believe, have been not on the taxpayer dollars that come from the United States or the Illinois taxpayer, but from the European Commission. Is that the case for this
one? That's 100% the case with this one. It was a grant from the European Commission called Getting to Know Europe, and it was an 18-month grant where we at the European Union Center hosted a variety of speakers from around the world, as well as a lot of local experts to provide lecture series, support some course development on some EU-specific topics, and then run some conferences. And all of this culminated in our study tour where, with these European Commission funds, we were able to take some public officials and high school teachers, as well as yourself, Todd.
Thank you, by the way.
You're very welcome. We enjoyed having you along. Where we could go and get to know Europe, actually being in Europe and visit those institutions and visit those businesses.
Why the teachers? What was the important part?
Well, that's part of, if you think about it, the teachers serve as a multiplier effect. We ran a competition, an essay competition, basically, that was open to teachers across the state of Illinois, and we advertised this through our networks. And our thought, as well as the thought from the granting agency, the European Commission, is you can take these teachers to Europe, and they can learn a bit more about the European Union, and then integrate these sort of concepts, whether it's a history concept or a governing concept or a business concept, into their classroom so that then their students get to know Europe.
James Garcia is with us, as I told you at the top of the program. He's a social sciences and math teacher at Centennial High School. What was your essay about?
I believe there were various prompts, and the prompts asked us why would our students gain from the teacher's visit? So why would my students gain from my visit to the European Union?
And what did you say?
I said that as a teacher of economics and of European history, I sat at the crossroads of this trip. It was about industrialization and about the governance of the European Union and its relation to its history. So I'm going to be able to use what I've learned about the European economy in my AP economics class, and I'm going to be able to use the history of the European Union and the various cultural exchanges we had to enhance my curriculum in AP European history.
Tom Bruno from the Champaign City Council. These are unique trips because it's not just all fun and games. You go and 4, 5, sometimes 6 hours a day, very warm room and a PowerPoint presentation.
These are sometimes misunderstood, these types of trips, because most Americans have the luxury of only going to Europe on a pleasure trip. But this was clearly a working business trip, and we knew it. We were hitting the ground early in the morning and going till the evening. Then we'd have a little bit of time for dinner and to let our hair down. But part of the value of a trip like this is to be able to relate to the people you're traveling with. And I learn from these high school teachers what the issues are and how they're teaching, and I hopefully can convey to them what life is like on city government. And I learn from you about agriculture. I'm not a farmer. And the sharing of information just among the travelers together was very, very valuable to me.
I found simply in the walking tours with you, both in Brussels and in Luxembourg, that I learned a great deal on the walking tours, and that I also learned sometimes in the evening when we were at events about the differences or what you were seeing in the cityscape that might be valuable here in Champagne, or just the difference in way things work. It was really neat to listen to you talk.
Well, I think that your mind can really be stimulated about how other communities have solved the same sorts of urban problems that we are facing in a town like Champagne. How do they solve their traffic problems? How do they solve their problems with homeless or the urban square or litter or recycling? I learn all those things on a trip like this, and that's very valuable. But the other thing is I can bring back information. I've been on the city council 15 years now. I've been on the board of directors of the Economic Development Corporation equally long. And we do business with Europe. And people in Champagne, our economy is dependent upon Europe's economy. So having that knowledge to be able to understand where we fit in was helpful.
Did everybody enjoy the 14, 15, 16-hour days? They were long days, weren't they?
They were.
We were really busy the first day, the first business day, Monday. We visited Caterpillar and Amchem. It was really fun to come around the corner and see the yellow and the black. That was pretty nice to have a cat facility in Gosselies. Why did you schedule them?
Well, when we think about the connections between Illinois and the world, and especially Illinois and the European Union, Caterpillar is one of the major investors in the European Union, and that Gosselies plant was actually their largest facility in Europe. And I had been this past spring to the Caterpillar plant in the Peoria area, actually with the EU's ambassador to the United States. So he had came and visited the University of Illinois for our annual European Union Day, and then had requested, can we go to Peoria to visit Caterpillar? Because he had heard about that. He was familiar with that brand and that company from his time in Brussels, and he thought he was in central Illinois. Let's go there. So I went there with him and then learned about Caterpillar's worldwide footprint. I always knew they were an international company, but to know that their biggest plant in Europe was just outside of Brussels, that was an opportunity we just had to take advantage of.
Any takeaways from that CAT visit for you? Did you learn about the global side of CAT, how maybe the Asian companies helped them survive the downturn? What things did you take away?
I took away from it kind of how a business can – Caterpillar is – we think of tractors and or you know excavators or whatever it is that they make with big engines. I took away from it that they are deeply invested in the infrastructure of our world, and that requires a wide network of trading from Europe to North America to developing countries that use Caterpillar, you know, their vehicles to excavate or dig or build or whatever they're being used for. It was just astounding how the Caterpillar facility was organized.
Then that afternoon on Monday, we visited AmCham, or the American Chamber of Commerce. You mentioned commerce. Were you surprised that the chamber, and maybe you weren't, Tom, actually lobbies the European Union at this point?
No, I guess I would say I would have guessed that the Chamber of Commerce would be lobbying a unit of government. I think it's also important that we come and carry the flag of Illinois and show them and refocus them on the needs of Illinois business and the Illinois economy, because they're an American Chamber of Commerce. And to the extent that we can show our faces, show that we're interested in what the work they're doing, and redirect the focus to things that might help the Midwestern economy, that's a good thing, too.
On day two, Brian, we spent the morning in the European Commission, learning about many things, including agriculture. I think maybe this would be the time to talk, and I'll have James fill in some details about the prep work that you did with the high school teachers before we entered the European Union.
Yeah, I think that was an essential part of this. Not only did we take these high school teachers to Europe for a week to learn about it, but we had a week-long, or actually a four-day workshop 2 weeks prior to departure, where we briefed a lot of these students. High school teachers. They served the role of students, as we had faculty from the U of I and some regional universities give them some rather in-depth briefings on the institutions of the EU, some certain policy issues, as well as agricultural policy, so that they could go into these meetings and not just learning the basics, but ask those in-depth questions.
What did we learn besides the fact that they don't really use their air conditioning in some of their boardrooms there at the European Commission, James?
I think Brian's absolutely right that it was nice to get beyond the basics. I'm a foreigner when it comes to the European Union, so my context is limited. I don't know all about the European Commission versus the Court of Auditors versus all of their different bureaucratic institutions. So having that institute that we had in preparation for the curriculum development workshop that we had was really essential for me to gain a wide breadth of knowledge and experience from the European Commission visit.
That Tuesday afternoon was one of the oddball visits, at least when you looked at the itinerary. We went to NATO, which is headquartered there in Brussels as well. We went there as they were making a decision about the response that NATO might make to the Turkish airplane that had been shot down by Syria last week. I know there were lots of interesting things, Tom, in NATO, but maybe there were a couple of signs that were fairly
sure.
fairly interesting.
You know, I was taken by the low-key, in some respects. I mean, NATO just looks like a giant high school. It's a building that houses 1,200 workers. It's two or three stories high and not much bigger than Centennial High School here in Champaign. But it's surrounded by concertina wire and it has a foreboding feel to it. Then you go in the lobby and there's big signs hanging up that warn you no classified discussions in this area. And you realize you're really in the heart of a military decision-making facility. Mm-hmm. And they kept us guests at bay, but we're briefed us on how they work and how they operate.
Yeah, there was an interesting little phrase that they used pretty continually throughout the day. They call themselves a political military agency, right?
Yeah, it was that they see themselves not as a military branch, but as a diplomatic institution that uses military as its arm.
So it was an interesting day for you at NATO?
That was probably one of my favorite parts.
Why?
I loved the officialness of the NATO visit. And it wasn't part of the food security agenda like you commented earlier, but it was really, I think it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to visit NATO. I don't think that, a family of three or four can walk up to NATO and ask for a tour.
That's one of the most unique things about going on a study tour like this is the ability to move into
access.
Places.
We access. Had access to facilities we would not normally be able to get into.
And if I could jump in here, one of the reasons we were able to achieve really some unprecedented access was the state of Illinois has a trade office in Brussels where their mission, they're part of the Department of Community and Economic Opportunity or Development, to promote investment in Illinois by these European corporations as well as facilitate investment or trading opportunities by Illinois companies in Europe. So they're used to dealing with the business community and a lot of those political institutions, or in the case of NATO, political military institution.
Right.
And they really did a lot of the groundwork that the European Union staff didn't have to, you know, be making these phone calls and getting this access. Because honestly, I doubt that, you know, the director of the European Union Center at the University of Illinois could have called up NATO and gotten us a series of briefings there.
It probably didn't hurt the governor had a trade trip earlier in the year.
And the governor, yeah, absolutely. The governor had a trade trip, and then we also had the NATO conference in Chicago, don't forget. And
right.
The governor was up there for that event. And so Illinois is, you know, pretty high profile in Brussels the last couple months, believe it or not.
Okay. So I know it's not an Illinois company, but it's a huge competitor to an Illinois company. We did visit a chocolate factory, Barry Callebaute. It was kind of an interesting little visit. How'd we get in there?
Well, in addition to the European Union Center, I teach food and agricultural law. So I love looking at food plants, and chocolate is quintessentially Belgian. So I thought we need to get to that. But, you know, actually the reason we went to that particular facility was that they had recently made a very large investment in Robinson, Illinois, to put in chocolate-making facilities. And the governor had visited that facility, and so we were able to leverage that rather new relationship to get us, our group, in for a nice tour.
So many of my agricultural listeners, of course, from the Robinson area, those who are not, will be familiar with the ethanol plant. One of the first ones that was sited in the state of Illinois has been built there. That's a private one. So Robinson, Illinois, Barry Collipult, have a connection to agriculture, I suppose. Okay. So it was really nice, by the way, to be in that plant and to see a food production facilities. They are the largest chocolate producer on the planet.
I believe so. Right,
by the numbers, and so and their primary competition right here in Champaign County, Illinois, although they don't make candy here, is Kraft, and which is now of course split into Kraft and Mondelez. So it'll be fun to watch those two companies battle it out to see who comes out on top. Other places that we visited, what do you remember? Let's see, we went to the U.S. Embassy, which was kind of an interesting visit, too.
To the United States mission to the European Union, which is actually, when you think about it, a much larger operation than the U.S. Embassy to the country of Belgium. The U.S. Embassy to the country of Belgium has representatives inside of it from four different cabinet-level agencies of the United States government, but the U.S. mission to the European Union had representatives inside of it from 12 different cabinet-level departments of the U.S. government, and that was another very interesting experience, going through the security procedures to be let inside of a U.S. mission, because they're targets, and we're folks from back home, and they gave us a warm welcome. In fact, a young woman with ties to Cisna Park was our presenter there.
Yeah, in fact,
Crescent City.
Yeah, and she'll be with us.
And she's coming to Champaign.
Yep, she's coming to Champaign, so we can say hi to her in the future. We moved from Brussels to Luxembourg, where we had a couple of interesting things, and I'll bet that you found both of those visits really interesting. We were at the University of Luxembourg, and we were at local city high school.
Yeah, it was really nice to interact with students. As much as I like being around adults, my job means that I interact with students. So it was neat to interact with them. And there was a comment from a local that said that this was the worst high school in Luxembourg. And I wish that our school was the worst school in Luxembourg. It was really great. The students go to a technical school there, and the state of education in Luxembourg is quite interesting.
And as far as Luxembourg University, the University of Luxembourg goes, we're looking to have more cooperation with them in the future?
Right. They've actually visited our campus three times now, different delegations, and we're working on a institutional partnership to exchange students back and forth. So it was nice to visit there, and they served as our host while we were in the city of Luxembourg.
We've been talking with Brian Endres. He's the director of the EU Center here on campus, Tom Bruno with the Champaign City Council, and James Garcia of Centennial High School. All were on the EU Center study tour last week in Europe, Brussels, and Luxembourg. I had the luxury of going along. Thank you all for joining us on a Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes right here with the CMR.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's U.S. Independence Day. It's also National Barbecued Spare Ribs Day and National Huckleberry Festival. On this day in agricultural history in 1817, construction began on the Erie Canal, the first significant canal in the U.S. It linked Lake Erie and the Hudson River and offered a cheap and safe way to carry produce to market. In 1826, Thomas Jefferson died, the third U.S. president. Jefferson had a keen interest in agriculture, and he practiced scientific farming and was always on the lookout for a significant new plant or seed. Also in 1826, the first malleable iron castings made in the U.S. were produced in Newark, New Jersey. In 1828, the cornerstone was laid for the Tremont Hotel in Boston, Massachusetts. It would be the first U.S. hotel to install bathrooms. It opened on October 16, 1829. In 1906, Vincent Schaefer was born. A U.S. research chemist and meteorologist, he invented cloud seeding with dry ice to cause rain or snow. In November of 1946, he conducted the first successful field test, seeding a cloud by airplane with dramatic ice and snow effect. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason for University of Illinois Extension. 225 years ago, our forefathers declared sovereignty when 56 men of the American colonies signed the Declaration of Independence. It was drafted by Thomas Jefferson between June 11 and June 28 of 1776. What Jefferson did was to summarize self-evident truths and to set forth a list of grievances against the king in order to justify before the world the breaking of ties between the colonies and Great Britain. What follows is an excerpt of the beginning and ending of the United States Declaration of Independence. Jefferson wrote, in Congress, July 4, 1776, "The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experiences have shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of the intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Excerpts from the Declaration of Independence. If you'd like to read an entire transcription of the document, visit the National Archive online. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an Agricultural Outlook meeting at Hog Heaven Barbecue in Mount Carmel, Illinois, at noon on Monday, July 9th. Lunch will be served. Lee Goss from EFG in Chicago will be there. More information is available at 866-837-9027.